Welcome to Growing Pains, a business podcast for entrepreneurs and their teams who find themselves in the growth phase or messy middle in between startup and aiming for six or seven figures and beyond. I'm your host, Laurie Sterling, a COO, coach and mentor. I both do what I teach and teach what I do with a passion for empathetic team leadership, business operations and all things entrepreneurship.
Hello, everyone, and welcome. Today, I have a guest of Laura Pearman, who describes herself as a creative Swiss Army knife based in the northeast of the UK, same place that I live, and serving the world. So she's been a creative entrepreneur for 11 years, and her current goal is to be the creative amplification conduit for female businesses that are challenging the world in our time. She does this with creative direction and consultancy, brand strategy, and brand photography. And in addition to this, you can find her entertaining on her YouTube channel, Mwah TV. That's a very cool name. How are you, Laura?
I'm good, thank you. That's a fantastic introduction. Thank you so much, first of all, Laurie, for having me on your show. I'm really excited about what we might get into today.
Awesome. Yeah, thank you so much. So, yeah, like I hinted at, I know you because I met you at a networking event in our beautiful town of Newcastle upon Tyne.
That's right.
So tell me, what does your business do? The introduction sort of briefly mentioned it, but you tell me a bit more in your own words.
Sure. So I think the key things to pull out from what you've said is creative direction, branding strategy and brand photography. So it can be directing a brand, it can be helping you figure out what your brand's about, or it could be applying your brand to a creative pursuit. That might be me being like a creative director with other creatives, like a graphic designer, an illustrator, an audio technician, or where I came up is through photography. So my application that I was with my team and my photographers is brand photography. So I think that helps to, like, for the more logical minds, I feel like you've got very logical minds who listen to this show. I think that makes it less flowery and more to the point about what I do. I work predominantly with expert women who will describe themselves in that way, Laurie. So very logical, maybe very right-brained, stays away from the creative side of things. That's my powerhouse. I bring the creative sparkles to the logical-brained experts out there. And that dials into the quest, like the quest of being the woman who helped all these incredible female minds make a difference to the world. Now, it might be an environmental pursuit, you want to clean up the planet. It might be more of a pursuit around diversity. I want to be the person who helped all of those genius women stand up for the right reasons to do good.
Love it. And you've been in business for 11 years now?
I know, right? 11, yes. It feels like yesterday I set up my business, Laurie, and it just flies. Like, I was thinking about this just as I was in the waiting room to come into the show. When I was 11, I think I had a birthday party at Laser Quest, or sometimes it's called Laser Quasar. And I was like, why? I should have organized a business party doing it like 11 and 11th birthday.
Yeah, that sounds great.
Yeah, 11 years. Crazy.
What made you start out? How did you get your original business idea?
Oh, good question. So I've always been entrepreneurial and I've always been rebellious. So the first business I had, I was 13 and I pitched my mum in our living room that if she could sign the dotted line as an Avon lady, I would run the business. So I had my own business from age 13 in my mum's name. But I think before I took the major leap, it's important. I'm not trying to get proud of this fact. I used to shy away from it. But before I was 30, I had 39 different jobs in different organizations. So there was always something that just didn't quite sit right for me and I ended up leaving. Or I'm kind of intense in working. So a lot of the times I'd have three or four jobs at the same time.
Yeah.
And that's why I got to that crazy number of 39. The final push, though, before I set up my business, I was working for a truly terrible photography portraiture studio in the middle of Newcastle. And I had 10 pretty serious complaint phone calls with people yelling at me on the phone, which when you think about the world of photography, it's not really like live or die situations. It takes a lot for a photography customer to raise their voice, especially in Britain. I had 10 of those calls, and because my boss couldn't be bothered to come in that day, I thought, why am I doing this? Like, this is crazy. If this guy can make such a hash of things, I'm sure I can do this better for myself. And I literally just went with that thought, stood up, locked the studio, posted my key through the letterbox. I quit via text message. And then that was it. I went home and I thought, right, I'll do it myself then.
Amazing. Yeah. I know that entrepreneurs just find that they don't fit into the normal box that, you know, they...
It's so true. Yeah. For me, you know, thinking about those 39 different jobs, there was always something where, like, my honesty would get me into trouble. So I'd be in a position where I'd have like a line manager and then their manager, and I'd go straight to their manager and say, excuse me, why are we doing this way? Surely if we did it this way, we could make this much more money, or these people would be happier, or I could work less hours. And people in those worlds and those cultures hate people like me, because I want to shake it up and make it better. And a lot of people don't like change. And that's where I would often find the problems. Like, I'd be too honest and I could not say, you know, people around me would be like, Laura, stay quiet. Like, you're going to get in trouble. Like, just do it this way. I'd be like, but it's...
Because, like, being an entrepreneur, that's exactly what I like in my team members. That's what I want. That's...
Yeah, exactly.
That at all. Awesome. Well, tell me, what has been some financial successes in your business that you can that you recall?
Sure. I think for me, I'm happy to share, I'm a five-figure business. Sometimes that's been on the lower end over the 11 years. Sometimes it's been on the higher end. But the main financial success for me is consistency. So I think this is really common. I'm sure any of your listeners out there who work with creative businesses in particular will know just how seasonal business can be, and also how much a business can go from feast to famine. Mm-hmm. And for me, you know, if I go back maybe 5-6 years ago, that was really like stressing me out. It was so, you know, it was leeching my lifeblood from me, because I knew that if I did this big push and sold this thing or went on this big trip somewhere in the world, I'd make a lot of money and it would be crazy intensive, but then I would probably get sick from burnout and need time off. So you're kind of constantly in that fight or flight state, thinking, right, go, go, go. Oh no. Go, go, go. Oh no. So it's overcoming that has been the biggest financial success for me. I'm not so much motivated by saying, you know, I want to get to 6 figures or I want to get to 7 figures. That doesn't motivate me. Having that consistency and that security in predictable income and feeling in control of it is definitely my biggest financial achievement so far.
How many team members do you have?
I have a freelance team, so I don't actually employ anyone. Right now, I've got a core team of 3 different people who do 3 very different things for me. And then I have a wider pool of freelancers who will come in on certain jobs and projects. And then, so another 3, I'd say there. So probably a freelance team of 6. However, that increases. So if I'm doing a grand scale photo shoot, I have a whole wealth of suppliers that we bring in specifically for that job. Hair, makeup, stylists. And then I'm always striving to find ways that I can make opportunities for people in the junior level. So figuring out, how can I have an assistant on this job? Is there an internship option within this? So I'm trying to make, I feel like I'm in that phase of my career now where I need to start making opportunities for the next generation coming up. So it fluctuates, is the short answer. Yeah. 3 core people and 6 like on the wider peripheral.
Love it. And so how many hours do you find you work in your business?
Right now I'm doing between 25 to 30 hours in the business. I shared this with you when we met in person. I'm happy to share it with the listeners, but I'm pursuing photography lecturing. It's just something that I'm enjoying at the moment. And right now I'm doing about 20 hours a week there. So I would like to say that I have the other hours of, you know, tending to my garden and walking on nice long adventurous walks, but I'm not. I'm hustling as a photography lecturer as well.
Oh, that's very cool. So when did you make your first team hire? What was that tipping point for you?
Oh, that's a good question. So I've worked with assistants since day one, but I wouldn't class that as a team hire. I actually got incredibly lucky. So my first main hire was a lady who at the time was calling herself a generalist VA for expert businesses. Mm-hmm. And she kind of did a bit of this and a bit of that for me. We became real dear friends, and also worked together on how she could grow her business. And she is now describing herself as an operational expert. I'm lucky if I can catch her for a cocktail. I can barely afford an intensive hour with her because she works with like very high successful businesses, like seven-figure businesses that are online specifically in their operations. Mm-hmm. So I think she was my main first hire, and we worked together in a flexible way for maybe 2 or 3 years, and then she kind of niched down. But I like to think that I'm part of that, her learning that and figuring it out. You asked me when I made the first hire. That was in 2016, I think. So it was just after I closed down. I started out with a bricks and mortar portraiture studio and then decided to take my business international. Just after that first burst is when I decided to make a hire.
Ah, that's exciting. So
yeah.
What was the catalyst of the most growth in your business?
Ooh, that's a good question. I'm really good, Laurie. I don't know if you agree with me. I'm really good when I have a big, hairy goal. I can achieve that big, hairy goal once I've found creative ways, and they often are very childish and silly, of breaking them down into like little mini victories. That's how I do well with a big, hairy goal. And I actually had a really good financial year in 2020, despite having the COVID pandemic. So I think the catalyst behind that was that I really sat back, looked at what was going on out there in the world and thought, hang on a minute, I need to diversify again. And I started diversifying, and it paid off for me in a huge way in 2020. So the catalyst was probably the pandemic, but it initiated me to think about business in a very different way. And I genuinely don't think I would have thought of it in that way if the world hadn't shut down in the way that it did.
Yeah. So what did you offer instead?
So at that time, I was an international brand photographer. So straight away, you could see the constraints. Couldn't get on a plane, couldn't work with people close up to do my job. So I'm not going to lie, I panicked. I had like 2 days of crying and thinking, oh my God, it's all over. Everything's ruined. Everything I've worked for is done. Yeah. And then I thought, hang on a minute, what's the key, like, consistent ingredient in what I do? And I just spent like 2 or 3 days on the phone with previous clients, you know, saying like, how the hell are you? How's your family dealing with this? But asking them, what's the one thing that I did for you that wasn't taking photos with a camera in person? And the overriding trend that came out of those interviews was, Laura, it was so much more than just brand photography. Like, you made recommendations about the way I should change my brand. You made recommendations about the way I should change my business. You introduced me to someone and we've been working together since, and we never told you about it, and it's been 4 years. So I was like, there must be something in that. Yeah. And then there was like this serendipitous moment where a guy I looked up to, he's called Philip Van Dusen. I'm proud to call him one of my mentors. He was launching, he was testing out an online program about how you deliver branding strategy as a service. And he was like, look, Laura, I'm looking for people. Will you create content? And I was like, yeah, all right, what the hell? I'll do it. And when I did that course, it was incredibly intensive. It felt like I was doing another marketing degree. But I realized that's what people were talking about. It's so much more than brand photography. I was figuring out all of the nitty-gritty that should happen way before a photo shoot. And I never even thought to charge for it. So that's when I realized, okay, branding strategy, it's a whole thing. It can end in a photo shoot, but it doesn't have to.
Yes, amazing. Wow, I love hearing that. That's definitely understanding, especially like when you're trying to scale a business, understanding that core ingredient that you can pass along to every single client, no matter what, it's actually the key to scaling. Like, it means that you don't necessarily have to be the one person that delivers that service inside your business as well. It really is, once you know what that secret sauce is, you've got the key. Expanding. It's brilliant.
And it's about being free and easy with the modality and the process, isn't it? Mm-hmm. I think that's the thing that flicked in my brain. I was like, hang on a minute, what about a world where I don't have to be behind the camera? Now go back to when I was in my portraiture studio days, I'd be like, are you insane? Like, I am the talent. I am the creative specialist. Actually, no. Anyone can operate a camera. And if you're a really good leader, you can direct them in the way you want to. So now I'm actually thinking, okay, maybe I retire my photography, or maybe I price it to the point where it's when I choose, when I want to do it. But I would never have thought about things that way if it hadn't have been for this big shift. It's all about the modality, being the flexible bit. And like you say, what's the secret ingredient that you bring?
It is. And every business, even if like there's another photographer, they will have a different one than you will. Like that's the ingredient. It makes every business unique. I love it. All right. So what has been the hardest part about growing or running your business?
Oh, good question. For me, I think the hardest thing that I've learned over the years is the fear of failure. So that's a massive thing for me. I am naturally a creative perfectionist. I'm an overachieving older sibling. Like my whole identity is wrapped up in being like the 10 out of 10 girl first time. You know, I live for the gold star of everything. It just is my identity. You know, like Monica and Friends, I'm very like that. If there's a way of cleaning something in an ultrasonic, extra special way, like I am on board. So for me, I think learning that about myself and realizing how that would affect me as an entrepreneur was big. So back in 2015, this is when I was just doing photography, I decided to give my heart and soul into the idea of selling this vintage pinup photo experience. And I actually was going to host it in Whitley Bay, where you live now, Laurie. This is where my family's from. I know it well. So it was this vintage themed pinup experience, and women of all shapes and sizes and backgrounds could come along, buy a ticket, made to be feel like this Hollywood pinup for the day, and I'd take photos of them and it would be beautiful and like female empowerment. Amazing. So I put my heart and soul into this, Laurie, and I got all of this press coverage. I have all of these businesses involved. It was going to be amazing. And I sold zero tickets.
Oh, no.
I did everything I could to sell it. And I was devastated. I was like, everyone's going to see, like there's girls from my high school who hated me. They're going to see that I did this thing because it was in the local paper and I didn't sell anything. Like it was at that time, it was the ultimate failure for me. And I was so demoralized and cried and everything. And I think when you're thinking about how I overcame that challenge, it's learning that the sooner I can make friends and welcome this option of failure is the same time I can become a better businesswoman. So from then on, after picking myself up and dusting myself off, I started to lean into that fear of failure. And I still, it's something I actively pursue now. I'm reading about it. You know, if there's a movie about it, I'll be watching it and trying to say, right, actually failure is probably a good thing. It's not the end of the world. It's not devastating if it doesn't work. It's just a lesson that I was supposed to learn at this time. I think the other side of that coin is learning how to fail really fast. That's definitely, so instead of spending 3 months selling this opportunity and working out all of the details, what I should have done, or what I would do now if I was in that situation, is right, how many of these can I realistically sell? What financial goal do I want to achieve? What can I do to determine demand for this? Explore those things first. And then if you realize, well, actually, for whatever reason, the women of Whitley Bay right now do not see that that's a great opportunity. Okay, well, then there's no point in doing it. It's a great idea for another time. Maybe if I was in Brighton, or maybe if I was on Bondi, or maybe if I was in Las Vegas, that would sell amazingly. But for whatever reason, the geography's off on this one. Never mind, move on.
Oh, that's amazing. Yeah, that's great insight into, yeah, turning a downside into a learning lesson for sure.
Yeah, yeah. And I think when you're more logically minded, I think this is why it's good to surround yourself with the right people. Like I now have the people around me would be like, hang on a minute, Laura, beautiful idea, but should we just work out the numbers on this first? They'd be like, yeah, okay, fair enough. And then they come back to me and they'd say, right, it doesn't work. I might be a little bit miffed, but I could get over that after having a coffee instead of like being devastated. Like there's something there with the creative brain being like very romantic about ideas and falling in love with an idea and not giving credence to logic and sense sometimes.
Love it. All right. So what has been the best part about growing your business?
Ooh, that's a good one. On the flip side, I have a few highlights. I would like to say that the best is yet to come, you know, touching wood, hoping that the best is still to come. I've got three different things though. So I think the initial sense of achievement when I took the business from being bricks and mortar and locally based into being international felt like a real win for me. I remember like strutting onto planes, going places and thinking, yeah, I've made it. You know, I was real proud of myself, ordering a little cheeky gin and tonic on the plane and thinking, I did this, was great. However, I will say the novelty of doing lots of long haul flights wore off after a while. Another key area for me is I managed to direct this huge fashion show for, and we used to have Newcastle Fashion Week here where we both live. And I put on a fringe event in my own right. And I don't know how I did it, but I managed to persuade over 20 different businesses to just give me stuff. Like I persuaded a guy who was a carpet layer to create a like velvet carpet for the runway. Like you name it. I thought of a way to get this stuff for free. And I made this massive collaborative female empowerment fashion show. I think that's a real jewel in my crown. The final one is delivering an enormous branding strategy project to a company that I knew very little about. So this was a logistics company. They worked in the rail sector. The only thing I know about rail is like getting a train. But I was able to showcase what I knew, like my method, my process, my delivery in this totally alien world. But I was able to deliver value. And I see that as a huge achievement. Like I really pushed myself out of my comfort zone and I applied what I know in a world that I knew nothing about.
Love it. Go back a step, back to...
Sure. Help me to.
Go back to the runway that you put on. I feel like they're two, like, the Whitley Bay event and the runway event are sort of both big ideas. One was successful and one not so much. So how did that one turn out? What was the success of that?
It was amazing. We got every business got amazing press coverage. People, different businesses were doing deals with each other. Mm. I made some, it was when it fairly early on in my business, but I made some seriously important business friendships that have helped me over and over and over again. So it was very much about building that network, and I wanted to do it to build a, like an instant reputation factor. Like I'm a new business on the block. So a great example is hair and makeup artists. I still use them now to this day, you know, 10 years later. I know a guy who is a lighting tech. That's all he does is lights. Mm-hmm. And he did the lighting for this. But again, me and him have done a lot of, it's like that behind the scenes support, you know, it's like, oh, Laura, I've just heard that like word on the street is this is happening, put in for that. And then I'll help him out. So I think I probably couldn't say there's a big financial win. I mean, we didn't lose money. I think we all had enough to go for a big meal after the whole thing happened. But for me, the big return on investment was those relationships. And I genuinely couldn't put a price on some of them.
Oh, that's so good. All right. So what's next for you? What are your dreams and goals and visions?
Okay. Big questions, Laurie. Big questions. Yeah. Okay. So right now I'm selling the next round of my online program. So this is a 10-week version of my 10K plus service. So like I described with that railway company, that's a like a 5-figure project. This is a different modality. So just what we were talking about. Yeah. And instead of fully done for you, I'm teaching it in a done together sort of way. So it's aimed specifically at female expert business owners who are logically minded, you know, my strong suit. These are the women I love to work with. But they found that the investments that they've made so far in their branding haven't necessarily paid off in the bottom line. You know, they're looking at their balance sheet at the end of the month and they're thinking, yeah, I invested a good chunk of change there. Where's the ROI? How do I quantify this? And they just can't, or they're feeling frustrated. How come she seems to be cleaning up on Instagram and I'm scrapping around for, you know, clients? So those are some of the resistances that, or the problems that these women have. That's what this teaches you. Another key one is, I have my branding sorted, Laura, they'll say. I know my colors. I have 3 hex codes and I use these 2 fonts. Yeah. And I'm like, okay, let's just step it back a little bit. That's not your branding. Your branding is way more nitty gritty than just colors and fonts or typography.
Yes.
So we can pop a link to that in the show notes. I've literally just released an episode about how this works. It might be one if any listeners interested in the sound of it. As we're doing this recording now, the next launch is July 2023. But if someone's binging your content, which I'm sure lots of people do, there are future dates planned. So the same link will take people to the future dates.
Oh, I love it. That's very good. And so what's the best place to follow you in your journey?
Okay, the best place is to check out my show, Mwah, on Mwah TV on YouTube. yeah, we'll put a link. M-W-A-H TV. All of my social media content is actually repurposed content from the show. So if someone doesn't have 20 minutes to learn a specific thing about branding or creativity, you can find me anywhere on social media. My handle is the same. It's Laura P. Creative. And that's where I do like little bite-sized pieces of what we talk about on the show.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining me today. And thank you to everyone for listening.
Yes.
If you're a business owner who is stuck in the operations of your business instead of being the visionary and turning up as the talent, I'm currently offering a bottleneck session for entrepreneurs who want to free up more of their time. Send me a DM or email and we'll hook up a chat to go through the details. Until next time, thank you to Laura, and have a productive day.
Thank you. Mwah.